Big deal. Just give me a thumbs up when we are. That way I can talk to them as well. Amen. Or at least I know when I'm talking to them. Amen. Welcome online. So here's the thing is, as we grow in God and as we seek the Lord, our faith gets stirred up. That's our belief system gets stirred up to receive what the victor has done. Amen. And when we do that, it changes everything. And I was talking about testimonies here. The testimonies were so powerful. I was like, I'm coming up to preach. I was like, forget the rest of the worship. I want to preach because I felt the presence of God. You may not know it, church, but when you share a testimony is you believing in God and God showing up. So faith is being released and you overcame that situation. You pretty much did the gospel when you share your testimony. That's the power of God, not in your ability, but you trusting in the one that's more than able, more than capable. So I just wanted to share that with you this morning to encourage you. It is not performance-based, and this is the last part of what he said to me. It's obedience-based. The kingdom is not performance-based, it's obedience-based. So obedience is not a performance, and obedience is submitting to what the Word of God says. And as you submit, God just pours it out. God, and you can, a testimony, that is submitting and obeying God's word and believing in it, saying, I can't figure this out, I can't do it, I don't know how to forgive this person, I don't know how to get through this service, my emotions are going haywire, but my belief is in you and I trust in you. And that's why many people that are at rock bottom find God, because they exhausted everything else. And they have, the only thing they can do is look up. Amen. So don't get to a place where you have to hit rock bottom. But if you feel like you're at rock bottom, all you got to do is look up. Because your redemption draws near. God is right there for you. Amen. So if you're struggling in an area, just read 1 John 5, verse 4, I believe it was. That's what overcomes the world, our faith. Our faith in God. All right, so it's not performance. All right. Get that in your spirit. It's obedience. So going into the offering message this morning, as I get started here, I'm asking the Lord to control me and direct me in my excitement. Because when you get excited for the Lord, you just want to just run wild. But there's a way of being led by God that's not wild. All right? It may seem wild to the world, but to God, He has a way of doing things. His spirit is gentle and it moves through and it can articulate and get to exactly what it needs to get to. And that's what I'm seeking. We seek the presence of God here at New Freedom Church. This isn't a performance, all right? We would have been done long ago if it was a performance. We probably, you know, in man's eyes, we may have failed, but in God's eyes, we're where we need to be. Right. Amen? Amen. Amen. So Genesis chapter 12, I'm reminded of this scripture with Abraham. Because the Lord spoke to me concerning the offering this morning is the difference between ownership and stewardship. Because the world looks at, and it was ingrained in me personally, that ownership is everything. You gotta own it. When you own it, then you have control of it. And that's how it needs to be, right? I mean, you'd rather purchase land than rent it. You'd rather own your home than rent it. You'd rather own your car than lease it. Because you have control of that thing, right? And that's good. And that's, God ministers along those lines. He desires for us to be debt-free and to own things. You know, He owns cattle on 1,000 hills, so He owns quite a bit, right? So we need to realize this, but at the same time, the kingdom of God works on ownership, but it also works on stewardship. Because once you accept Jesus, what you own, you realize you're not an owner of it, you're a steward of it. So when you, in man's eyes, you own your property, but in God's eyes, it's a blessing from the Lord and you steward the property. Do you see what I'm saying? It transitions from me to Him, and it transitions from me owning it physically to me being a steward of it spiritually. Amen. And as we see this, we can realize that God can operate in such a way beyond our mental ascent when we start realizing that life is a steward. We're a steward. Yeah. Even our very life is a steward. Mm-hmm. Our time here on earth, we steward the time that we have here. Yeah. We don't own our life. We lose our life as a Christian. Yeah. We lose it. And I'm talking about spiritually. You know, we give ourselves away to God and we allow God to steward our life and use us to glorify Him. Amen. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. So I'm sharing that with you because even with finances, it works that way. You know, if you do it all in your own power, then you got to keep everything in your own power. All right? So when the government does this, this, and this that takes away what you've earned, then you, how do you handle that? You fight with the government? No. You trust God because God is your source, not the government. All right? So when you start understanding that you are stewarding the kingdom of heaven, not the kingdom of this world, you start operating on a level with God and that's not influenced by the things of this world. So even though there's taxes, even though there's bills and all that kind of stuff that comes our way, what is our source? Our source is heaven. So when we pull from heaven, it allows us to operate even in the natural realm because God's our source. Amen. And we're stored of it. So I wanted to share in Genesis chapter 12, the promise of Abram. It says in verse 1, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Notice in verse 1, that's the obedience part. The blessing came of the promise came after obedience. Yeah. All right? Again, it's not performance. It's just, this is what the Lord said, I'm going to obey the Lord. Amen. It wasn't about what Abraham could do. It's about doing what the Lord said to do. And then the promise came to pass. So we see here that Abraham is a steward of his life and what he has. Abraham had quite a bit. He had a lot. And he was a steward of it. He wasn't an owner. Notice what he did, the first thing he did. He gave 10% to Melchizedek, didn't he? Yeah. Why is that? Because he's a steward. He realized that it wasn't his to own, it was God's. Yeah. So he gave God his portion he needed to. Because he realized God's the one that gave it to him. God's the one that's due the reward. Because without God, he would have never got it to begin with. Exactly. If you didn't know it, the reason you're here and the reason you're on this earth is because God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. Amen. And we're just here to steward it. Yeah. We're just here to do whatever the Lord tells us to do. And that's the life that we live. It's not about everything we can do or we can get. It's about what God has for us. Because God is the one that is literally revealing his plan and his purpose to us as the church. But if you're not part of the church or you don't know the Lord, then this life is all you got. This is where it's at. And you can either make it or break it or do whatever you can to survive, right? But with the Lord, you're a steward of what he's given you, and you're here for a purpose and a plan. And I wanted to share that with you, that's a promise of God. We can go to Hebrews 6, if you want to turn there. Hebrews 6, 13 through 15. It says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." So God was saying, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to multiply you. If you really understand the blessing of the Lord and the promises of God, you will seek them and obey them with all your heart. You will seek the word of God and obey it, because the promise is the blessing. And guess what? The blessing wasn't earned. It wasn't a performance. He didn't go to Abraham and said, you must perform this, this, and this to be worthy enough to be used by me. He just said, obey my word. Yeah. Just leave your father, mother, leave your homeland, and go to a land that I have for you. Yeah. Some of us are at that place where the Lord's been speaking to us. Hey, this is what I want you to do. And all it is obedience. It's not performance. It is not performance at all. The presence of God was so strong here during testimonies and even through worship. But it wasn't performance-based because there wasn't a performer up here. It was on audio. It was on audio. But the presence of God can still show up because the hearts of the people are open to it. You got to realize something. that it is not about your ability to move God. God moves on faith. God moves on your trusting in Him. When you trust God, He'll move for you. And if He's not moving for you, there's something we need to adjust in our trusting. There's doubt or unbelief, unforgiveness, something that's plugging it up. That testimony was so powerful. And I'm not going to call her out online and share all that. But you listening online, unforgiveness will jam you up. Yeah. It will jam up the blessing of God quicker than anything. If you want to say it, it'll dam it up. It will literally dam up the flow of God. Unforgiveness is a but it's one of those things that we hold on to near and dear because we want to protect ourselves. That's why we have unforgiveness, is to protect ourselves from others. Isn't it? Yeah, very much so. They did me wrong. They hurt me. I don't want to be around them. And it forms a judgment. And what does God say? Love your enemies. Yeah. And you can read in Mark 11, 26, 27, where it talks about your prayers are hindered because unforgiveness. Yeah. But man, when you break that and you trust God and you say, you know what? I'm going to trust you, Lord. You created that person. You made that person. I'm gonna love that person. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't anything performance-based, was it? It was a heart change that allowed the blessing of God to flow. That's all it was. When she prayed and forgave that person, that's all she did to trust the Lord, that the Lord would help her forgive. And then the Lord's daily blessings coming, answered prayer, healing, all these things. Why didn't they come before? She didn't go to church for 5 hours that day and go to evening service and Wednesday. It wasn't performance. She didn't say, oh, I got to read my Bible for hours to get God to move. That's performance-based. That's religion. I got to go to church so many times for God to move in my life, to be more holy. You cannot make yourself holy. There's nothing you can do that's holy. Love you, but there's nothing holy about you at all. Till Jesus shows up, then you are redeemed, and then you are the righteousness of God, and you are a holy vessel of honor, fit for the Father's use. But till Jesus shows up, you're just a filthy rag. You're just a hot mess. That's all messed up. And that's what the world's like. Take a shower. Take a shower. Yeah, with holy water. Amen. Take a shower with the Lord. Let the Lord cleanse you and get the sin. Once the sin is moved, then the blessing flows. That's it. And that's all. Unforgiveness is sin. People don't want to talk about it, but when you have judgment for someone, that is sin. That's sin. It's all right. I haven't started my sermon yet. It's okay. But I want you to realize the simplicity of the gospel. It's not performance at all. It's obedience to what the word says. So the more word you get in you, the more you want to obey it and the more you see God move. It's a simple concept. It is as simple as it gets. God made it so easy, it takes a person to mess it up. It takes a person to mess it up. But the gospel is so simple. Nothing to do with performance. Why do you think a five-year-old can get God to answer them? Because they don't have the junk in the trunk. They're not trying to perform and have some type of religious ceremony to get God to move. God doesn't move on religion. Amen. Come on. God doesn't move on religion. He doesn't move if I wear a tie or not, or a suit or not. He doesn't move if I have the best pulpit in the world. We know that's not the case. But God's still here, isn't he? He's not judging the pulpit. He judges sin. And when sin is removed, the blessing and the promise of God come. It's that easy. You don't have to work at this. You don't have to work at this. You know, when it says work out your salvation, it's not talking about laboring. It's talking about getting unbelief out of the way and trusting God. Focusing on him, making him your first love. When you do that, you open the door to the blessing of heaven. What does this have to do with an offering? I tell you, if you come to church and you think the church is trying to get your money, you're already at a place where you're plugging God from blessing you. When money is your God, what are you doing? You're performance-based. You're already trying to figure out how much you can give or not give to still be able to do what you want to do. Right? None of you, I understand that. Nobody's ever had that thought of trying to figure out how the finances are going to work out. Sure, God wants us to budget, but here's the bottom line. If he's our source and we're a steward of what he's given us and what we have, and if he can take a couple loaves and a few fish and feed the multitude, he can surely take what you have and do whatever he wants to do with it. Amen. And it's not performance. How can someone that has no money get the same reward as someone that's full of riches? And how can someone full of riches, like the rich young ruler, not enter in? Because money was his control. Yeah. He took on the ownership side of things instead of the stewardship side. Yeah. Yeah. Because stewardship would be like, whatever you say, Lord, it's all yours. Yeah. Even if I have this much or I have this much, still yours, Lord. And that's faith. So it's trusting in God. That's how simple it is with finances. What about healing? What about sick? It works the same way. Jesus paid for our sickness. He paid for every infirmity. So it's not ours. I'm not going to steward something that's not mine, that Jesus doesn't have for me, that he already paid for. Why am I going to carry something that's not mine? And I'm surely not going to go looking for it. But you laugh about that, but people literally try to stay sick to get money from the government. They do it all the time. Nobody wants to talk about that. Can physically work, but yet get unemployment and get disability. Drives me crazy, but guess what? Not my problem. Not my problem. I pay taxes, but it is what it is. I don't care where my taxes go. My source isn't my government. My source is God. Amen. Amen. Side note, okay, what does that have to do with giving? I want you to understand something. We must take ownership of our lives, and when we do that, we become a steward for God. When you truly understand your spirit being, and you're here because God has something for you, you give everything to God. My life is God's. I'm not my own anymore. My finances are God's. Everything's God. My marriage is God's. My children are God's. And I don't mean they are God's. What I'm meaning is they're children of God. Yeah. Amen. And when you release that, it takes all the weight of performance off of you. Yeah. Am I the best husband? Absolutely not. But with God's help, I do a great job. And there's always room for improvement. Amen. But every area of your life, you got to realize something. When you switch from owning it and controlling it to releasing it and being a steward of it, it allows God to work in that area. Yeah. And I'm believing God's going to start working in your finances in that way, not out of a performance thing, not go working overtime to get more money, or not killing yourself. Why kill ourselves to get more money than we can enjoy it when we do get it? Mm-hmm. Why don't we trust God and obey him and watch what he's going to do? Amen. So when you get home, pray over your bank account. Pray over your finances. Ask the Lord to bless that thing and honor him. Amen. Not performance. Yeah. Not performance. Submit to God. Just submit it to God. Give it to God. Amen. You ready to give this morning? Amen. Amen. If I could have the ushers, if you're listening online, there's many ways to give. You can give through the website. You can text to give, 866-863-1948. You can Venmo at NFC Give or cash or check. Amen. There's many ways to give, but there's one God that's going to supply your needs. Amen. Amen. Go ahead, ushers. Serve the people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I have like 5 sermons running through my head. This is phenomenal. Lord knows. Lord, you know. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch what the Lord's going to do. Business ventures, finances. Watch. This is a promise. All Abraham did was obey the Lord. That's all he did. He's the father of many nations. He's our covenant that we have. The covenant that Abraham's, the Abrahamic covenant is the covenant we live in. He made Abraham the sand by the sea. Just as the sand, the stars in the sky, those are the descendants of Abraham. That's you and me. But what did Abraham do? Yes, Lord, I'll leave my hometown and I'll go do what you're telling me to do. You have a land for me, I'm going to go to that land. God has a plan for you that you need to fulfill. Amen. Amen. And you need to go do whatever it is. And it may be right here at New Freedom Church locally. It may be in the town. It may be with your neighbor. Who knows what it is? Just do what he's telling you to do. Amen. And then all of a sudden, the provision and the promise start flowing. Amen. If you can bow your heads, Heavenly Father, those listening online, we lift them up as well. Believing for breakthrough, believing for God's promises to come to pass, believing for ministry opportunities, whatever it may be. Father, we're a steward of the life that you've given us, Father God, and we wholly trust you in every single detail, including finances, Father God. We release them to you, Father God, and we thank you in advance, by faith, Lord God, that you see our heart, that we trust in your word, and we trust in what you have for us, Father. So I ask that you bless these finances, bless this tithe, bless this offerings, Lord God. Bless those listening online, bless those that are present. God, you are more than enough. You see every need that is at hand, Father God, and I thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, Father God. Father, I thank you that even in the midst of inflation and financial things that are taking place, Lord, you are the solid rock that is going to be our ever-present help in time of need. Father, I thank you that those that have bills piled up, Father, I thank you that you make a way of escape. Glory to God, because it's not performance-based, Lord God. It's wholly trusting in you. And we just trust you here this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, today's message, or the fifth message for today, is the road less traveled. Amen. The road less traveled. And the Lord gave me this as I was reading in Ephesians, and that's probably where we'll head, is Ephesians 2. Chapter 1, but when he gave me this, I thought of like a course or a path or a way. In every single area of our life, there's a path that God has for us. There's a way to get through. There's a way of escape. There's a way to get over the mountain. There's a way to get through the mountain. And you think about it, even in our physical life, everything, there's a way for everything. Everything. To get to church today, you took a path to get here. Amen. So even in the most simplest things, when you get up out of your bed, there's a path to your bathroom. There's a way to get there. There's other ways not to get there, right? Whatever it is that you deal with in life, there's a path. Some of you college kids, there's a path to get home. There's a way to get home that's faster, that's more blessed, that's easier than other ways you could travel. Education works the same way. You want to become a doctor. There's a path to become a doctor. There's a way to get there. Mm-hmm. Amen. And as a child of God, there's a kingdom that we live by, and there's a way to operate in there. There's a course of actions that we take of obedience, of trusting in the Lord that makes that path straight and easy. The Bible says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Well, when you take the path of his yoke and you put it upon you, it becomes light and life becomes fun and life becomes easy because you're not carrying it. Amen. But I'm telling you, when you carry the weight of the world on you, it will burden you to no end. It will burn you out. It'll burn your marriage. There's a path for marriage. There's a way to raise your children. Everything you look at, every decision you make is a decision of a path to take. So you're taking paths constantly throughout the day. When you get over, if you get over into offense or unforgiveness, you took a path. You took a course of action that's going to give you a desired end, whether you want it or not. Right? Unanswered prayers. That's what we all want. No. So you take the path of getting sin out and not allowing it in, and you take a clear path where you get answer to prayer. You get provision. You get the blessing of the Lord. So there's paths that we must take. And there's many, many paths. And I'm telling you, the Bible talks about Jesus said, I am the way. There's a straight and narrow path that leads to heaven. Yeah. And few be there that find it. Amen. Every single one of you in here is going to be the few that find it. Amen. I, as a pastor, am not allowing people to miss the narrow way. That's why we preach Jesus and Jesus only. Amen. So there's no other path to take to get to heaven. There's no other bridge that gaps this life and eternity except for the bridge of Jesus Christ. That's it. That is it. So you must make that decision to follow that path, to follow that way. Because if you try a different way, like Hindu or Buddha or Muslim, Islam, you're not going to get your desired end. You're not going to get there. And I didn't make the decision on if the path gets there or not. I didn't make it. I'm just telling you the right way and the wrong way. Don't shoot the messenger. Amen. So if you think of even the most minute things in life, there's a pathway. There's a course of action. And the word course in the Bible in Ephesians that it talks about, it's a time frame of living in an area and living in a way that causes you to operate in a kingdom based off of the way you're living that way, the obedience that you're living. Remember, it's not performance-based, and I think the Lord shared that with me so he would remind me in my sermon, it's not about performance, all right? So the way is not performance, the way is a decision. Yeah. So the course you take and the path you take, and I know this is going to ruffle so many feathers, and people say it all the time, and it burns me up in my spirit, but I love them. But it burns me up when people say God's in control. No, he's not. He is not. He's all-knowing. He knows what's going to happen. But if he was in control, everybody would be saved. Everybody would be healed. No one would go to hell. We wouldn't even have to worry about hell because God's in control. And I know that bucks people's theology and they get mad at me. And they're like, how can you say that? I don't understand. Yes, God is all-knowing. He knows who's going to receive him, who's not going to receive him. If God was in control, Adam would have never fell. Right? They would have never ate of the tree. Jesus, our God, would have went over there. No, don't eat that. Don't eat that. That's not good. He would be right there with them, making every decision for them. If God was in control, this whole church would be totally filled up. Come on. Right? Everything in the Bible would be instantly just happen. Oh, we want that? Yeah, that would happen. Nobody would be poor. Nobody would be sick if God was in control. And I know I sound a little abrupt here, but it rakes my nerves a little. But I keep a pure heart. Amen. I keep my heart pure. But it's a disservice to realize that just pushes faith right out the door. And it pushes the grace of God right out the door. It pushes free will. Right out the door. Adam had free will to make a decision to eat of the tree, didn't he? Yeah. So did Eve. Yeah. They both did. But they both partook together in sin. If God was in control, why would Jesus have to go to the cross? That's pretty harsh to put your son on the cross to pay for sin if he was the one, your beloved son. He would have never had to come if God was in control. The Christian faith would not be the Christian faith if God was in control. Think about this. But we just say it, we throw it out there nonchalantly, but it's a religious statement. And it's not the Bible. It's not the Bible. God is, he knows the beginning from the end. He has the realm of knowing and taking care of the enemy, putting them in hell and dealing with all these things. He's going to handle all that. But he's given us free will as a believer and as a human to make him and accept him. Yeah. If he didn't give that, everybody would instantly accept him. Yeah. Do you get what I'm saying here? I'm not saying that God is like floating out there and we have total control of everything. It's not that. He knows what's going on. He sees all things, knows all things. He's our ever-present help in time of need. But sin is in the camp. Amen. And people decide whether they live in sin or not. They decide whether they accept Jesus or not. So there's a decision. There is an obedience factor that comes into play. He wouldn't have to just tell Abraham to leave his father and mother. He'd just come down and just send an angel and say, let's go, Abraham, you're coming with me. No, but Abraham had to make a decision. I got to go. Jonah. If God was in control, Jonah wouldn't have went into big fish's mouth. All right? Think about all the stories. Yeah, David would have never slept with Bathsheba. Right? God's in control. He would have kept that. Everything in Scripture, you can read that God is not in control of people's personal decisions. He is not in control of people's personal decision. All right? Every single one of you that knows Jesus as Lord and Savior made a personal decision to make him your Lord and your Savior. Yeah. Nobody forced you. Nobody held a gun to you. None of that. You had to make the decision yourself. I'm going to follow Jesus. Yeah. Amen. You have to make a decision every day to be nice to your neighbor. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. To be nice to your coworker. Because if God was in control, you wouldn't have any sin. There'd be no sin. So God is in control of heaven. Hey, there's no sin in heaven. It's full of joy and peace, and that's what eternity, and that's what our hope is in. Yeah. We don't have to make decisions once we get to heaven. It's just constant worship to Jesus. That's all it is. But down here, where sin is available, there's a flesh. We make decisions, and we have to decide which way we're going to choose. Amen. Everybody, all through Scripture, that's how it operated. So, getting back to where I was going, the road less traveled, sometimes, most times, as a believer, the road becomes a little narrower or less used when you start chasing after God. When you take a road less traveled, it's usually pretty dark sometimes, and there's not much traffic on it, right? The back roads of Sellersville, the road less traveled. All right, we don't live in the city, all right? So there's times where you don't see many other people. You might exactly be in the exact place God wants you to be because it's the road less traveled. You're not just following everybody else and what everybody else is doing. You're making a decision, I'm going to do what the Lord's telling me to do. Same thing with purity in your life. You make a decision that, hey, I'm not going to be a part of this because it's not who God designed me to be. You make that decision, you make that path, and you stick to that path, and you're like, you know what? This word is my guidebook. I'm going to follow this and wherever I go, whatever I do. This should not change depending on who you're around. So it shouldn't be our guide on Sunday and then the world, you know, radio station the rest of the week telling us how we should live. Or Apple News that pops up on my phone that drives me absolutely bonkers. I'm going to pray if somebody's going to help me get that so it doesn't come on my phone. All right. Tired of hearing that funky stuff. I don't care. I don't care about that. It doesn't help me or bless me. So my decision is I don't want to hear it. So I'm going to work on that. Amen. Amen. Let's get to the Bible. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Paul shares some insight here on a course of action or a pathway that we must choose. In Ephesians 2, verse 1, it says, and you he made alive. Now that word, he made alive, is in italics, so it's not in the original. So it should say, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin. So that tells us the path of sin and death is trespass. Watch this now. And you who were dead in trespasses and sin. So trespasses and sin lead to death. Bottom line. The Bible also tells us that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So here we have two paths. We have the path of sin that leads to death. And we have the path of Jesus that leads to life forevermore. They're pretty... I don't understand why it would be a hard decision. Sin, once you hear that sin is bad and sin causes death, I don't want no sin no more. You know, I need a Savior. I need a release. I need something to get me off the course that I think is right in my own eyes, but according to God's plan and God's will for my life, it is not the path I need to be on. So I must make a decision. Not performance. a decision of obedience, I want to switch my path. I don't want the path of sin and death. I don't want the path of trespass. I want the path of life and abundant life. So I must make a decision to find the one that is going to get me on the path that leads to life forevermore in heaven. And that path is Jesus Christ. And that's what we preach. That's what we believe. Because that's the one that not only paid to get rid of sin, but it also positions us on the straight and narrow path to heaven. Amen. So Jesus does a double blessing. He doesn't only remove sin, he delivers us, but he sets us on a course that goes directly to heaven. Amen. That it's a wonderful thing to follow the Lord. When you understand who he is and what he's done, you don't want anything else. You don't want what the world has to offer. And you he made alive, so it went from trespass, sin, and death to being made alive. Amen. Everybody wants to be made alive. All right, we don't want to die. All right, verse 2. That was kind of a sad amen, but you're getting it. I know in your heart you believe it. All right, verse 2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Notice something, what I was just talking about. In which you once walked according to the course of this world. So that's a pathway. That's a time frame. All of us that have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, we once walked on a path of the course of this world. Every single person automatically gets on that course. The moment you're born into this earth, physically, you are on a course of this world. You're born into this world. That's why Nicodemus, he had a hard time understanding being born twice. All right? But physically, when you're born to the course of this world. We're born into sin. I know it sounds rough. I know it doesn't sound fair. But guess what? Life isn't fair. That's why Jesus came on the scene and whipped the one that made it unfair and delivered us from it, the curse. Amen. So there's a course of this world. There's a pathway, a direction of this world that everybody is walking in. But you have to get to a point when you hear the good news of Jesus Christ say, I don't want the path of this world anymore because it leads to destruction. And I'm going to choose a better path. Amen. And that's the redemptive work of Christ and what we believe in. But notice here, it goes on and says, according to the prince of the power of the air. If God was in control, there would be no other power in the air. There would be Almighty God in him only. But apparently, Paul's saying, New Testament, to the church at Ephesus, they're according to the power of the air. So there's a power in the spirit realm in this world that we need to realize and understand. And what that is the power of the enemy. Yeah. It's Satan. It's demonic work. It's darkness. All right? And you say, well, I don't know if Satan's real. I think he's just red guy with a pitchfork. I'm telling you, you've been deceived. There's darkness out there, and it's gripped many, many people. Yeah. And they're going through the wide gate as we speak because that force has gripped them and blinded their minds. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. If God was in control, Matthew 4 would have never had to happen where Jesus was tempted by the devil. Yeah. Think about that. The Son of God came filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the River Jordan, and then instantly, after his fast, gets sent into the mountaintop to be tempted by the enemy. Why was he sent there? He was sent there so we could see how to get the victory over temptation. He went through it first so we could deal with it. So there's no temptation known to man that Jesus doesn't already know about. And how did he get the victory? The Word. He spoke the Word over it. But he still had temptation come his way. Sinless. Jesus was sinless, but still had temptation. Why? Because he lived in the flesh. You and I, just because we're born again, still deal with temptation. Even today, you can be tempted. Your stomach can be tempting you to go get some lunch. There's temptations out there. That's not a temptation. God designed you to eat. That was a joke, okay? Don't be so spiritually minded you're no earthly good. It's okay to smile in church. You won't get struck by lightning, okay? Amen. It's okay. God's good. Here we go. Oh, man. Where was I going with that? Verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Praise God, we're not walking that direction anymore. According to the prince of the power of the air. Praise God, the enemy has no power over us now because we're not on that course. When you're on the path of the world, you're subject to the authority of that path. So if you're on the path of the world, you're on the path of darkness. And guess what? Fear, torment, worry, anxiety, all the things are come upon you. And you don't have the ability to stop them because you don't have the authority over you as a sinner, as someone on that course, on that pathway. But when you enter into the path of heaven, the narrow way, the way that's lit, the Messiah, the Savior, and the Holy Ghost is walking with you. And he's your guide, so you don't have to trip, you don't have to fall, you don't have to worry, you don't have to fear about anything. You don't even have to fear death itself because you already know where you're going. Amen. Notice the difference here. What path you are on dictates the authority that's in it. All right, so when you are a young person and you're on the pathway of living at home, you're under the authority of your parents. Because that's the path you're on. When you make that decision of age to say, you know what, I think it's time I'm going to move out and I'm going to get my own place, you become the authority. If you own the place, if you lease it, you still have an authority over you, the owner. The owner has the authority. Get this now. When you ask Jesus into your life, you give Jesus the authority of your life. Amen. And when you do that, that's when heaven comes down and the blessing follows and flows through your life. And you become so free, you don't have a care in the world because you know your authority is the Savior of the world. He's the Redeemer of mankind. This is a powerful truth we must realize. But if you just believe that God is in control of everything, you are releasing your right and your authority in the land as a child of God. Because you're not of this world. But if you say, you know what, God is in control of anything. I have no authority. My words don't mean anything. My prayers don't do anything. And you take that stance that God is going to just either bless you or maybe not. That's you're subjecting yourself to authority of the land. Because you're not allowing your heavenly authority to have its place. Amen. And that's a decision you have to make. You have to make that decision. Amen. And if you don't, you just allow the authority of the land to take control. Principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, even sickness itself. People will get mad at me that I believe in divine healing. I believe that you can walk in divine health because Jesus paid for it. Yeah. Jesus paid for it. And when things come your way, temptations, feelings, you speak to them and say, you know what? That's not the authority here. You can pack your bags and go somewhere else. And don't tell it to go to somebody else. Tell it to go somewhere else, all right? Because we don't want to speak cursing on people, all right? Just get out of my house. Don't touch my family, you know? And I talk to people, and they're like, you know what? I got this. I feel I got a scratchy throat. I'm not. You're speaking that thing into existence, all right? You may have a scratchy throat, but don't accept it as authority, amen? You accept the blessing of God. Because you have authority over the prince of the power of the air. The only way you have authority over the spiritual realm in this life is through the name of Jesus. That's the only thing that can give you the authority to speak to it. Okay? Because if you don't know Jesus and haven't accepted him, you don't have the power to speak to the authority. I mean, you can speak to it, but it's not going to submit to you. Right? Yeah. Hey, you know, the enemy knows scripture. Paul, I know. Paul, who are you? See, you got to know your authority. You got to know what Jesus has done for you. Verse 3. It says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh. Bingo. That is the key to understanding what path you're taking. When you walk in the flesh, you are submitting to the realm and the pathway of this life. Because your flesh is of this life. You get a glorified body in heaven. All right? So the temptation comes through the flesh. Every temptation comes through the flesh. Why did Satan go and tempt Jesus after he fasted for 40 days? His flesh was weak. My man was hungry. Sure. Yeah. So the enemy's going to try to nail you when you're down. That's why when you feel a symptom of sickness, when you start speaking that, you're accepting that feeling above the Word of God. And the enemy's going to tempt you to start speaking that sickness out. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. So when you speak life to your body and say, that is not mine, I'm the healed of the Lord, I'm protected by Almighty God, the blood of Jesus is my protector, and you start speaking life to your body, you break off the power of darkness and the sickness off of your body. You break the very root that's trying to establish itself. So he'll throw a symptom out there for you to grab a hold of it, and if you speak to that symptom, you allow that root to just go right down in and grow and produce sickness in your life. And people don't want to hear this, but that's the truth of the matter. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And man, I choose life. I choose divine healing. I don't want anything other than divine healing. If faith comes by hearing the word of God. I don't need sickness to try to have some messed up theology about my faith is increased because I'm sick. No. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Here we go. Among whom also we were once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. So there you go. By nature, we follow our flesh. By nature. We take that path. We travel the path of life by nature. So don't get mad at people that don't know the Lord based off of their way they're living. Because that's the path that they're on. They don't know any better. The problem is the ones that say they know better and aren't living it. And Jesus dealt with that. That's called a hypocrite. And he had no patience for hypocrites. Amen. Because you're saying you're on a path, but you're walking in the path of the world. You're speaking one thing, you're double-tongued. You're double-minded. You're saying one way, and then you're walking a different way. That's called a hypocrite. And you're not going to get the blessing of God doing that. And people that say, well, I go to church on Sunday and live like hell the rest of the week, I'm telling you, you're a hypocrite. But it's true. And when we take on Christ, we become a new creation. Old things are passed away. Our life becomes different. We see people different. We see our life different because we see it through the eyes of God, not through the eyes of man. That's why you don't have to believe everything you hear in this life. Because if it's coming from man, it's not coming in a way that's going to be pleasing to God. It's got to come from God. It's got to come. Here we go. Verse 4. It gets better. This sounded so bad. I know. I agree. But Jesus came. Watch. But God. Everybody say, but God. But God. When you put God on the scene, everything changes. But God, who is rich in mercy. Mercy. God is rich, wealthy in mercy. He is so gracious. Even in all our mistakes, even in everything I said about what people do and what they believe in hypocrite, God has mercy on the hypocrite. Amen. God's mercy does not stop based off of someone's theology. God's love does not change for them based off of their theology. Or lack of. Amen. God, love, and his mercy abounds. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us. This was written right before you were born. You can't earn God's love. He already loved you. You can't earn his mercy. He is so merciful. Way before you did anything you did. People have a mindset in the world that they can't come to church because they'll get judged. All God is judging is sin. He's not judging the person. He loves you. He sent his son for these people. Thank God he sent them for me. Thank God he didn't judge me because I would not have been good enough. My judgment, yeah, it would have been bad. Bad, yeah. Anyway, that's in the past. It's under the blood. But we need to realize something. God's love for me, even when I was sinning, was the same as it is now. I can't perform any better to earn more love or earn more grace. All I do is obey his word and live my life according to his word, and that allows it to flow. Amen. So it's faith and grace that allow it to happen. Let's keep going here. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Everything has a course. Everything has a path. And it's God's love and his grace and his mercy that makes his path available for all of us. How awesome is God? Amen. Even though full of sin, he made a path available, full of light, full of mercy, full of grace, and full of love. Hallelujah. All that is available for you and I. All that is available for every person out there, every family member that doesn't know Jesus. Grace, mercy, and love poured out, available. Available. Proverbs 14, 12 through 14. Proverbs 14, verses 12 through 14. I want you to see something here. There's a path to take. There's a way to go. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Even in laughter, the heart may sorrow, and at the end of joy may be grief. What are they saying here? There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's been many times in my life where I thought I knew the best way. I had a plan. I had a plan to be a dairy farmer. It was a good plan. It was a noble plan. It was honorable. There's nothing wrong with it. Absolutely nothing wrong with that plan. Hard worker, did right, obeyed my parents, showed up for work. I was doing everything right in man's eyes. Everything. There's a way. I had a pathway. I went to college. I did what I was supposed to do to fulfill that desired path. But I found Jesus. Or should I say Jesus found me. We met. And I received him. And my path and my trajectory changed totally. And I realized that there is a path, there is a way that seems right to man, but the fulfillment of my life would have not been fulfilled if it wasn't for Jesus. I would have never had fulfillment in life, and I would have never had an afterlife in heaven if it wasn't for Jesus. So I thank God that my trajectory changed. And it's nothing about the farm. It's nothing about the cows. It's nothing about family. I get along with all of them, even the cows. I get along with everybody, still to this day. But the trajectory had to change to fulfill the plan of God for my life. It had to, but there was nothing wrong with it. Even I knew the Lord, I found the Lord and accepted Jesus, and I was still working at the farm. And Jesus didn't say, "Them cows are of the devil, you got to get out of this place." It didn't work that way. There's nothing wrong with being a farmer. Absolutely, nothing wrong with it. So it's not against that. It's against the obedience and the calling and the gifting that God had on my life that I was totally naive to. The ability to speak in front of people that I was totally naive to. Totally wanted to reject. Incapable, unable. And there's many people in this church that are like, "I'll never sing in front of anybody." They end up singing in front of them. "I'll never talk in front of anybody." They end up sharing their testimony. Many, 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 many times. "Oh, I don't know if I can. I'll have a ministry." You already have a ministry. You just don't know it yet. I'm here to tell you, you got a great ministry. You just haven't seen the full picture of it yet. Because I've seen what the Lord's done in me, and I've seen what the Lord's done in others, and I think to myself, wow, he has a sense of humor. Amen. But the path changed. The course changed. But the reason it changed is because I saw the light. I saw what God offered for me. It's someone preached the gospel to me, and I heard the good news, and I thought, wow, that is phenomenal. Really, is that for me? I'm not even deserving of that. And then you start looking at yourself, oh, I'm not good enough. And you take that pathway of the lie that you're not good enough. And that's the very reason Jesus came. He came to break the lie off of you, to break darkness off of you. But we, in our own flesh and mind, think we're not good enough. We're not able enough. We're not smart enough. We're not gifted enough. All these what ifs, all these negative things. God doesn't look at that. God doesn't look, because God knows the reason we people don't step into something is because they're believing a lie of sin that they're not good enough. Or it's not available for them. Or some other thing. I'm too young, or I have this to do, or that to. We reason everything out. And you can reason God right out of your life. Yeah. You can work God right out of your life. Because you're choosing a path of work over God. All these things, the paths are everywhere. Everywhere there's paths. And we must make a decision which one we're going to take. Which one we're going to take. Because it gets to the point where your paths become, you need to seek what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Because you can find 5 ways to go to Dover from here. Probably 15 ways. I'm telling you, there's back roads everywhere. And I don't even know them. But all I'm saying is the Lord will speak to you, go this way. And there'll be a sensitivity because he'll protect you from something. And it gets to that place where God loves you so much, he cares about the details of even which road you take. Because he knows that something, that's the part of God all-knowing. And when you submit to that, he diverts you and takes you on a path of blessing where you don't have to worry about the curse and the fall and the breaking down and all those things. But it's a decision to say yes to God. That's where the control factor comes in. When you lose control of your life and say, it's not my life, I can't handle it, I need Jesus. And you relinquish your control and ownership of what you think ought to happen, just like Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man. All of us can conjure up a way in our life that seems right. Yeah. And then we can look back and say, that was a stupid decision. Amen. Because it led to a stupid thing that is just stupid all the way around. Yeah. And we can say that. And we can see that. But then once you learn from your mistake, you can look at it and say, I'm not going to do that again. And that's wisdom. You learn from something. Amen. That's why it's good to talk to people and listen to your parents. They have a little wisdom. Amen. So you don't do the same dumb thing that they did. Yeah. Yeah. Never mind. I won't go there. Let's keep going. Verse 13. Even in laughter, the heart may sorrow. Do you know anyone that they have nervous laughs because they're hiding something on the inside? They're holding back something, but they laugh to show that they're free. But on the inside, there's things that are trying to be worked out. Amen. They're trying to be worked out. I didn't say that to catch you in that, to raise your hand. I'm just saying that we have a tendency to cover up hurt and struggle by laughing about it. Amen. Yeah, we all do it. We all do it. You can look at me that way and say, you've done it. Guaranteed you've been uncomfortable somewhere and you smile just like everything's okay. And you're like, on the inside, it's not okay. It's not okay. Even sharing a testimony, you come up here smiling. Hey, this is wonderful. God's so good. And you're nervous on the inside. Right? I told my wife the day before we got married, oh, it'll be fine. No problem at all. You know, just it'll be easy. It'll go well. It'll go smooth. I was the one sweating it. Up there, stuttering, messing. She's like looking at me like, you told me it was going to be easy, and you're the one. You a liar. You know? And so I had to encourage her, but I was struggling on the inside. But I didn't want to promote that. I was getting married. Man, I'm a strong man. I'm telling you, feelings and emotions well up in you. Amen. That's why we need the Lord, and we got through it. Amen. 21 years ago. Praise God. Verse 14, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. Do you know what that means? When you backslide, when you pull away from God, it's you taking your way above God's way. That's exactly what backsliding is. You're sliding away from God. You went this far with God, then you're sliding back. So what you're doing is you're taking a path away from God instead of to God. That's what backsliding is. When you pursue God, you're taking a path to get closer to God. Amen. So pursuit and faith and desire and want to serve God is pointing you in the direction. And the enemy doesn't want that. So you're going to get temptation. You're going to get persecution. You're going to get things come upon you. But you need to make a decision deep down. You're going to God. And you're not going to backslide. People can say all they want. Oh, you're going to go through this. You don't have to go through that if you make a decision you're going the other way. You know, if somebody wants to decide, hey, I'm going left out of the lane, and you say, no, I'm going right, guess what? You're going right. It doesn't matter what anybody says. Say, when people say, well, I don't know about that God thing, and you say, I love Jesus, you're going with Jesus. Amen. All right? Nobody can dictate your decision to follow God. Yeah. You have to make it yourself and go with it. Amen. Amen. Go with it. And it goes on and says, but a good man will be satisfied from above. Amen. So it's not in your performance. Your satisfaction is resting in Him. It's not found in man. It's not found in this world. When you get wealthy and get money, that should not be satisfied then. Satisfied is peace on the inside. Satisfied is knowing your Lord and Savior. That's satisfaction, fulfilling God's call for your life. That's satisfaction. Not all the money in the world, not having the best looking wife. All those things are man-made. All those things are fleshly in desire. Because guess what? The money will run out. I won't go into the next thing. Amen. We get older. That's right. Amen. These things shift and change, but who never changes? God. God will never change. And He'll never leave you nor forsake you. This is the God we serve. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When you lose yourself, you really find it. There's so much I'm finding out about myself that I never knew that the Lord is helping me to see and realize. Even negative things that I grew up with, that I accepted, that I thought was who I was. But the Lord's saying, that's not who I created you to be. Amen. Amen. And it's very freeing when you realize just because someone says something about you or towards you, that isn't who you are, because that's not what God says about you. It's a powerful thing. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Amen. Guess what? You don't even have to direct your path. You just have to follow Him. He will pioneer the path. He will make the path. He will lighten the path. He will clear if anything falls in the way of the path. You don't have to worry about any of that labor side of the path. You just got to follow the one that's making it. Amen. That's it. Just follow Jesus. Just trust Jesus with all your heart. Your path will be made. Hallelujah. Today you can make that decision. You can say, I've been going down a path that's cluttered. I can't see where I'm going. I went deer hunting the other day, and we drove. And I'm telling you, when you walk through the woods, you have to walk in the most densest places because that's where they sit. And I'm thinking to myself, why am I doing this? Why am I getting cuts all over my hand, tripping, you know, having to cover my eyes, ripping my clothes? Why am I doing this? This is the most miserable thing ever. But it's a path I decided to take. And the path was no path at all. Nothing. There was no path. It was, where's the thickest, most briary patch, muddy, nasty? That's where I want to go. That's the dumbest thing. So we all do dumb stuff. I did it yesterday. You just going into places that just to go hunting. It's anyway, I'm getting revelation as I'm speaking. Why do you do certain things? But there's a direction that the Lord has, that when you find that path, it's like this carpet right here. It's open. There's no tripping hazards at all. And there's many times where we think we know the path. Like if you tonight, don't try this, but at night, or the next morning, when you wake up in the morning, you know what's at your house pretty well. But when it's pitch black dark, if you think you know the way, but you can't see it fully, you're going to find out that you don't know the way as well as you thought you knew the way. But in your mind, you knew it because you organized your house. You know where everything's at, but you don't have the light to see it clearly. That's how a lot of people are in life. They think they know the path. And it's one thing to walk through your house in the dark. It's another thing to try to run through your house in the dark. Even though you think you know the way. Guess what? Guess what happens in life? The enemy will even throw things out there that you, the same path you've taken before, all of a sudden it looks different because the enemy wants to trip you up or snag you or mess with you. We need Jesus every moment of every day. Amen. Every moment of every day, because it allows us to walk in a path where we don't have to worry about tripping hazards. We don't have to worry about dark areas, shadows, fog, none of that stuff. It's clear every time because Christ is the center of it. And I want to encourage you today. Today's your day. Everyone can bow their heads, close their eyes. You listening online, do the same thing. Just bow your head. There may be areas that you are struggling with. Struggling with. And it may be a short-term thing. It may be something that you've been dealing with your whole life. Where you've worked in an area trying to clear a path, trying to do the best you can. And you're not alone, church. You're not alone. Listening online, you're not alone trying to make a path for yourself, trying to get through life the best you can. There comes a time when you realize, and today can be that day, that you don't have to be the one that clears your whole path. You don't have to be the one that makes your path straight. You don't have to be the one that lights up every area and makes everything work the way it should work. There is a God that loves you and is merciful and is gracious to come and enter into your life and help you walk out this life to its uttermost, to the very end, and do it full of grace, do it full of love and compassion. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, and he died over 2,000 years ago just for you. He died so you don't have to live a life with a crooked path. He makes your path straight. He makes your way narrow, and he gives you peace with God. His name is Jesus, and if you've never asked him into your heart, I pray you do so now. If you're here, sitting here this morning, and never ask this man named Jesus Christ of Nazareth to enter into your life, you can today. And every path that you've struggled in, the Lord will help you conquer that path. He'll guide you through your life and to be able to see what he wants you to see, to be able to see victory, to be able to see healing and deliverance, to be able to see family members get saved. His name is Jesus, and he paid for all sin. And if there's sin in your life, that's okay, because Jesus came right now to deliver that sin out of you. So if you're ready for change, God's ready to meet you where you are. And right now, he desires to meet you. And if you mean business with God, he means business with you. And you can say, "Dear Lord Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart." If you believe that, you speak it with your heart and lips out loud. "Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross, and you rose again just for me. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me now. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It works that way in every area. There's someone listening online. I feel it in my spirit. You've lost hope that that it can't be fixed. You've lost hope that it can't be fixed. You're at a place of hopeless. I'm telling you, there's a God that will turn it around. He'll turn it around. Right today, it's going to turn around today for you. Whoever that is listening online, God's going to turn it around today. You're going to see a huge transformation because God's going to show up for you. When you thought it's impossible, God's going to say, I can make it possible. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. It's easy to go the world's way. It's so easy to go the world's way. You just have to keep breathing and just falling forward and you're going the world's way. But if you want a true change in your life and go the narrow way and enter into heaven, you make a decision that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. And from this day forward, make Jesus your Lord and Savior. It's not a one-time thing. You keep living for God. Amen. If you're struggling, I want to offer this to everyone here. If online, still online, good. I'm going to offer it to them too. If you're born again and you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, I want to pray for you. Because the Holy Spirit has come. He will fill you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet with His power and with the fire of God to live out the life that God has called you to live. They were endued with power from on high at Pentecost to be a witness for Jesus Christ. If you're struggling to be a witness, if you're struggling in your own life to live out the Christian life, the Holy Spirit is the answer. The fire of God is the answer. Amen. And if there's anybody here, if you're listening online, I'm going to pray for you first. Because Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. So, Father, I thank you now that Jesus is the baptizer. Every single person that is releasing their faith right now online to believe to be filled with the Holy Ghost and power, we release it now in Jesus' name. Fill them, God, right now with the power of God, right where they are, all around the world. Fill them right now in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, that you're filling your people with the fire of God. Filling them to be a witness, to have the power of heaven to live the life that you called them to live. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening online. We love you. Have a blessed week. Glory to God. But you listening here today, I want to pray for you. Each one of you. I want to pray for you to be filled with the fire of God.